I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. The Democratic Republic of Congo observes 50 years of independence. We speak with a State Department official charged with addressing that country's refugee crisis. He's just back from a trip there, and he'll be with us to tell us more in a few minutes. But first, we want to take a moment to remember a South Carolina native who died on Monday at the age of 90. But few here in his home state or in the states at all knew of his work. But in Ghana, he made a name for himself. Dr. Robert Lee, trained as a dentist, moved to Accra in the mid-1950s. Over the past half century, Lee became a fixture in the Black American expatriate community in Ghana. Joining us now to tell us more about him is NPR's West Africa correspondent, Ophebia Quist-Arkton, who just last year had a chance to interview Dr. Lee, and she joins us now from Johannesburg. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Oh, Dr. Lee. Dr. Lee, as everybody called him in Ghana. He was a figure that everybody knew, with his gray hair, his baritone voice, his gentle manner, and his passion for Ghana. It's going to be a huge, 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 huge loss, Michelle.
Ophebia, back up for a second and tell us why Dr. Lee moved to Ghana to begin with. And I have to tell you, one of the reasons I was so intrigued by this is I, too, have a relative who moved to Ghana in the 1950s, but who did come back about a decade later. So, and I've never had a chance to ask him why he did that. So would you tell us why Dr. Lee moved to Ghana?
You know what? He said he met Kwame Nkrumah, Ghana's independence leader, the first prime minister and then president of Ghana, at Lincoln University, and other Ghanaians. He said they just lit a fire in him. Whilst America was trying to deal with its human rights and its civil rights problem, he said here were these young Africans, and they were so confident that they were going to be able to jettison colonial rule. And they were so sure, and they were so determined, that he was fired up by them. And that's why he wanted to be there to witness it. He said not that he was against, or not that he'd given up on civil rights in the US, but he was so galvanized by the Ghanaians, or the Gold Coasters as they were called there, that he was going to head to Ghana with them.
You mentioned that he made a life for himself. He trained Ghanaians in dentistry, and he became a leader, some would say a part of the patriarchy of the African-American expatriate community there. What was it that made him so beloved?
I think it's because Dr. Lee was such a listener. And it wasn't only Dr. Lee who trained a generation of Ghanaians, his wife as well. I mean, this was a couple that came to Ghana and that helped Ghana. I remember Dr. Lee telling me, because I never met his late wife, that she set up the first mobile clinic, and that it used to travel around the capital, Accra, and help people who had problems with their teeth and their health. I mean, that was unheard of then. Ghana had just got independence. Did we have any dentists? Probably very few. Doctors? Probably very few at that point. But these two people, this couple, come all the way from the US to say, Ghana, we're here to help you. We're here to live with you. We're here to become a part of you. I mean, that's just such a wonderful story.
Let me ask you, though. You interviewed Dr. Lee in the course of President Obama's brief visit to Ghana last year. And I wonder, did Dr. Lee ever express any regret that he, well, he certainly did leave to see the day when the United States had an African-American president, but did he express any regret that he'd missed out being in the country, in the U.S., when all this was happening?
I think I asked him about what was going on in the U.S. He said, you know, he goes home, he went home for medical treatment, he's a war vet and so on. You know, he hadn't cut off from the U.S., not at all. His children, some of his children are there, brought up there. But what he felt with Barack Obama being elected the first black president of the U.S. is that the U.S. was also making progress. But I think he also felt that, in a way, Ghana had made progress long before the U.S. The fact that the independence leaders had fought for their struggle, gone to prison for their struggle, and been determined to say to Britain, enough, we are ready to govern ourselves, that he felt was a tremendous achievement.
Let's just play a short clip from your interview with Dr. Lee, where you asked him about what he thought President Obama's election represents. Here it is.
This fellow also shows that your being black doesn't have much to do with what you become. Because Africans in the past, in America and in Africa, always felt that they can never do these things. These were supposed to serve for white people. But that Obama has proved this is not true.
So, Ophebia, you found him quite charming, it seems.
Not quite charming. Unbelievably charming. He had one of these brilliant smiles that lit up his whole face. You go into his living room and it's the history of my country, Ghana, 50 plus years. He has photographs. He has newspaper cuttings. He had just everything that was proof that he had lived through the history of my country. I was born just after independence. Ghana gained its independence in 57. I was born in 58. And yet here is this African-American Henri Ghanéen telling me about my country's history. He was truly, truly a man I salute. We say, Dr. Lee, yedamwasi, yedamwasi. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for coming to Ghana. Thank you for believing in Ghanaians. And thank you for staying in Ghana and living through the good and the bad times with you. Yedamwasi.
And finally, he still retained his affection for the United States. When you interviewed him last year, you asked him if he might wish to sing a song for President Obama, and this is what he told you. Here it is.
He would probably want to sing like, God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her. Like that, a song like
keep
that.
Going.
On the mountains, to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home.
That was Dr. Robert Lee, a leader in the African-American community in Ghana. He moved to the country in the mid-1950s from South Carolina. He died on Monday, July 5th, at the age of 90. And that was him being interviewed by our own Ophibia Quist-Arkton, NPR's West Africa correspondent, and she was kind enough to join us to tell us about his life and influence. Ophibia, thank you so much for bringing us this lovely story.
Dr. Lee Daye, rest in perfect peace. You deserve it. Thank you, Michelle.